All right. Jerry Reynolds, team head coach, general manager, director of player personnel, color commentator. What have I missed? Did you, like, put shoes in line in the locker rooms also?
Well, actually, I did a couple times. I taped ankles because in the early days, you only had one trainer, and he was sick. So I taped ankles and did some of that. And I was an assistant coach first.
Good heavens.
So, I did a little bit of everything.
You moved here when the Kings moved here, so you have had a love affair and a life with them since they came to Kansas City, what, 30-something years ago?
This starts my 34th year.
Wow.
with the team. I didn't work for the team in Kansas City. I was a college division coach, and in those days, the Kings practiced, their practice site was at my college, and that was one of the ways that I developed a relationship mm-hmm. with them. And both, Phil Johnson, who was a coach at that time, always said if he could ever hire a second assistant, he would hire me. And when they came to Sacramento, they gave him permission to hire a second assistant, and he did. So in those days, two assistants was unusual as opposed to now they have about six or seven.
Yeah, so you've been around basketball for so long, logged a lot of time on the court and around the court. What's your own playing skill level?
Well, I played in college. Uh-huh. And by the way, just so you know.
Just so we know.
There's only two people in the history of Springs Valley High School, French Lick, Indiana, that had their jersey retired.
So there.
And Larry Bird is the other one.
Oh, man. You're in good company.
That's what I told him. And, of course, he told me, he said, if I'd known you they're going to retire yours, I wouldn't have let them retire mine. I said,
That's awesome. There are some people who think you retired, but before we crack the mics, you are by no means retired. Retired means not having a commitment to an organization, and you do pre and post, you do fill in. Talk about your ongoing relationship with the Kings.
Yeah, my role this year will be part-time, and that was my goal. I mean, the team's been great. They said whatever you want to do, and so I'll do home games, the pre and post game, halftime shows, and then I'll also scheduled to do 10 games as a color analyst with Grant again, but of course at home.
Mm-hmm.
I just won't travel the team anymore, which
uh-huh.
is, as spoiled as we all are with the way the team travels anymore, I just got tired of it, and it's not home. You know, 10 o'clock at night, I need to be in my pajamas.
Yes.
It's the way Lord intended.
Well, and talk about that. People think it's a glamorous life to travel. How many? Was it 58 games or something? And there's so much travel and up and down, and sometimes they're back-to-back. On the outside, what a glamorous thing to travel with the Kings, to be the coach, the general manager for the players. It's a lot.
Well, it is. I mean, and certainly at first it is a little glamorous, and certainly there's a lot of fun attached to going to the New York City and being in Manhattan or Boston and all that. I mean, mm-hmm. I get all that. But after 30-some years, the thrill starts to erode, if you will. And, of course, when I came to the league, we flew commercial for a long time until the early 90s. And
the players, too?
Oh, yeah. Everybody flew commercial.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were. And that was really a hassle. You know, I mean, and, of course, security wasn't like it is now. But mm-hmm. nowadays, I mean, we fly charter. Everything's taken care of. You special parking, special buses. You know,
special seats for giant guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. And I mean, even people like myself had, basically a row with two first class seats. It's planes that have 150 seats converted into 40, 45.
Lovely.
You know, it's just fabulous. So we're spoiled. I mean, there's no doubt in the first class hotels and all that. The truth is, you're not home, and mm-hmm. I'd rather be home.
And I'm home is Roseville, California, y'all.
Roseville, California, in my lazy boy, in my man cave. That's
sweet.
Where I belong.
So you mentioned a couple of the perks, but you were out on the road and here at home for a long time with a high-profile team and a high-profile sport in some of the glory years. What were some of the other fun perks that maybe you haven't talked about before, some of the cool stuff that you the rest of us would never know about?
Well, I ran the Monarchs for a long time, the Sacramento Monarchs, and we won a championship.
Yes, you did, and, WNBA.
And so, and then also I was involved with the Olympic team in 2000, and I was on the selection committee that won a gold medal. And so that was really neat for me because I was part of the, you know, selected a coach and the players and got a little replica gold medal and a signed basketball. So that's one of the, you know, the kind of highlights for me that probably people don't think about.
So we talked a bunch of the hats that you wore: general manager, director of player personnel, head coach, assistant coach, color commentator. What was your favorite and maybe your less favorite of all the different hats? Taping ankles, what was your favorite of all of them, and maybe the one that was kind of more work than a passion?
My favorite job was color analyst. Yeah, it was, I mean, because especially the last 4 years, that's all I did. And so just working with Grant, doing the games, even though the team wasn't very good, but it just was a light load and a lot of fun. I mean, it's still, I'm still a kid. The ball goes up and I enjoy the game. You know, I really enjoy association with the coaches and the players and things. And so that was my favorite. My second favorite was being an assistant coach, because you get to be the good guy. You know, you get to have a relationship with the players, and you're not the one taking them out of the games or not playing them and all that. And so that was my second. The least favorite job was probably general manager for a brief time. I mean, because I guess for me, I couldn't do it the way I wanted to. You know, I mean, it's high profile, but, you know, just the fact that owners are owners and and a lot of money involved.
And money is money. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I loved about being general manager of the Monarchs. I could do what I wanted. Nobody, the owners really honestly didn't care. And so I could make whatever trades I wanted, hire the coaches I wanted. It was neat. And, you know, and I always thought that was a lot of fun. But the overall job as general manager, the time I held it, I didn't enjoy it at all. And I resigned for that very reason, because there was a trade I wanted to make that I thought would really be good to make the team much better, and I wasn't allowed to make it. So I said, well, if you don't trust me, then there's no point. You know, you need to get somebody that you do trust.
How did you tell Grant Napier that you were finishing up? Because you two are an famous and infamous pair, so different, and it worked so magically.
That's a great question. I don't know. I can't remember exactly. I think I told him right away, you know, I think last September, it was a time to redo a contract, and I remember talking with John Reinhart, and he said that they wanted to, you know, for me to sign a new 3-year contract, and I said, I don't want one. I want one, and that this will probably be it. And then so he said, you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure. And, you know, I'd like to keep it private, but then I think the next day I called Grant and said, this is my plans, that this will be my last year, and don't want to make a big deal. We'll just do it. I was surprised they did a little thing at the end of the year.
You were surprised? Really?
Well,
I
was hoping that they would do it if they were going to do something.
Give you a cake?
Well, I was hoping they'd do a little, you know, a little something after the season or something. But it was very nice. Uh-huh. I mean, especially because of the fans. I mean, the fans have always treated me way better than I deserved. I mean, I've always felt that.
Talk about the fans. You have said that you have always worked for I work for the fans and I owe the fans. I'll always feel that way. The fans have been loyal, but the fans have been put through the paces with these Sacramento Kings. There have been amazing years and there have been some pretty crummy years. Talk about your involvement in that ebb and flow with the fans and being in the positions you were in.
I always say the team is the team. And as you said, some of them are really good teams. Some of them are very bad teams. It's interesting that some of the worst teams had some of the best guys, most enjoyable guys to be around, and some of the better teams had some guys very difficult to be around. So,
so
you know, once you're closer to the situation, but having said that, the fans were great regardless. You know, I always had nothing but good relationship with the fans, and we can commiserate together, whether at Safeway or Bel Air there in Roseville. And
do you get stopped?
Oh yeah,
still,
all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I enjoy it. I mean, people always say, "Do you mind talking basketball?" So what else could I talk about? I don't know anything else.
What else would you have done since you're right there? What else would you have maybe thought to do besides a lifetime career in basketball, in different facets of basketball?
You know, my original goal was just to go to college and get a degree. And I wanted to be a history teacher, and I felt I'd be a history teacher in, you know, Southern Indiana, you know, one of the little towns around there.
Yeah.
That was, I never had any higher aspirations than that, you know, because just nobody in my family had ever even went to college. So that was a big thing for me. And it just, the coaching thing just kind of happened.
Kind of happened.
You know, it wasn't a goal at all early on. I mean, not till I kind of got finished college.
You're being a little too modest. You don't just become an MBA coach. There had to have been something there.
Well, I mean, I had to, believe it or not, I had a lot of success in college. I mm-hmm. coached 20 years in college at different places, but I never really had thought too much about the NBA either. I just, you know, it's just one of those things where in the real world, most of us go through life, try to do the best jobs we can, and sometimes situations present themselves, and you take it if you think it's better for you. And that's about the way it happened. I mean, I'd have been very happy, I think, in my life if I'd have stayed as a college division coach. You know, I was had a lot of success. And
there's pros and cons to both, I imagine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed, in the college division, I taught classes. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed being part of the university, you know.
You were a very good
teacher.
And
closer to... you know, had better relationship with your players. You know, you could be a little bit of a father. So is mm-hmm. all that. So,
well, you do have a bit of history because you wrote a book called Reynolds Remembers Tales. excuse me, from the Sacramento Kings. Would you write a follow up? Is there enough that's happened since you wrote that book to write a second chapter or a second book?
Well, a couple of publishers, you know, did really sell well, surprisingly, and They wanted me to do another, and I said if I did, I'd wait till I totally retire, and then
which hasn't happened yet.
Then it'll be Reynolds Remembers Everything.
Oh, I like it.
And then I'll need to move up in the foothills and hide, probably.
No, because, you can still live
but
it.
So I don't know. I don't have a lot of interest in doing it. I really was glad I did the one I did. It worked out great. I had a lot of fun with it, mm-hmm. and made a couple of bucks, not very much.
But you had fun.
But I had fun.
So you choose to describe the term smart the way you want to. Who was the smartest, however you want to use the term smartest, player you've ever coached?
Danny Ainge.
There you go. That was easy. Why?
Because he was the smartest player I ever coached. I mean,
how?
His instincts were tremendous. You know, he understood the game from not only a player's angle, and obviously a terrific player, one of the best Kings ever had, even though it was a short time. But he saw the game from every angle as a, you know, just like a coach would. And we argued a lot. I mean, I always said with Danny, enjoyed him, but we argued all the time, and he was always right. Not always right, but mostly right.
Huh.
He was right more than I was. And I'm not surprised by the great success he's had. You know, he coached in the NBA, and now he's a great general manager with Celtics. I mean, probably the best in the league.
And are you still in touch?
A little bit.
Uh-huh.
A little bit. And like I say, it hadn't surprised me a bit. I always thought he was special.
So Danny, Bill Russell, DeMarcus, lots of colorful characters that have come through the team. Talk about some of your favorites, not smart, not better, not worse. You're saying some of the lesser teams had some of the best guys on and vice versa.
Yes, I mean, like some of the early teams there, Eddie Johnson was mm-hmm. just Mike Woodson were just terrific to deal with. Reggie Theus was unique in a lot of ways
uh-huh.
as a player. And, you know, he had his own agenda a little bit, but I really liked him. Then you go into the later years, the great years. Jason Williams was one of my favorites. I mean, he was a little dingbat, created a lot of problems, but what a marvelous talent and
uh-huh.
fun to watch. You know, just selfishly as a fan, I just loved to watch. Jay Will would do something you just couldn't believe every day.
Uh-huh.
You know, just that kind of guy. And then, of course, the great players like Mitch Richmond and, you know, and Chris Webber, obviously the two elite players,
yeah.
Maybe of the franchise. Of course, DeMarcus, I think, had more talent than anybody, but he had his demons, so
yeah.
I think still does.
Yeah.
I wish him the best, though.
Uh-huh.
He was always, I mean, I had no problem with DeMarcus. I mean, he was very delightful to me. I always tell people, I said, you know, I wouldn't want to coach him. I mean, I don't think I could.
But he's a nice guy off the court.
Off the court, he was delightful.
We used to see Bobby Jackson around Roseville like he was anybody else except for he was Bobby Jackson with his kids at the movies, at Sunsplash. Again, like he was anybody else, and the other kids would just jaws dropping, and he would be hurting his kids and his nieces and nephews places, just like any other guy. It was always a treat to see.
Yeah, that's not a surprise. I mean, Bobby, there again, really one of the good guys, one of the really good guys. And of course, that's one of the things I like about this team. You know, they're fun. This team is a bunch of fun, nice young men. You know, really genuinely nice. And, of course, Vlade and Peja, I just think the world of them. And, and I like Dave Yeager and his staff a lot. They're easy to be around, you know. They're not – sometimes you get in – I'm at the age now where I just don't really want to suffer egotistical fools much. And in the league, you run into a few of them, and it's like
– One or two?
Well, one or two.
One or two. Okay, let's talk other stuff. If you have – when you traveled with the team, best – food experience that you can remember just off the top of your head? We were going back to the perks and stuff, one dinner or one lunch, or maybe even something in one of the arenas that was just off the hook.
Well, I mean, I am an expert on press rooms because, you know, they always provide press.
Right.
So that's part of it. As far as, you know, just a meal per se, I think probably the best offhand, I think it was Lowry's prime rib in Chicago.
Mm.
I love prime rib.
And
especially, you know, I remember Joe Axelson brought me and Bill Russell and Willis Reed, and he paid for the lunch or the dinner.
That makes it taste even better.
Oh, does it ever? I am
yummy.
If I'm on my own dime, we'd probably eat at Brookstone or somewhere.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. So where are your places around Roseville, Sacramento? Where are your favorite to-go places for food? We're still talking food.
Well, I mean, I'm very easy to please when it comes to that. Chopsticks is my favorite.
In our neighborhood.
Neighborhood. Brookstone, my wife and I like that. You know, it's for an easy, casual place. Obviously, Fats, P.F. Chang's.
A lot of good stuff came to Roseville in the last
10
years.
Oh, yeah. You know,
so.
I don't really go. I don't go, honestly, I don't go to Sacramento
it's
much.
It's too far.
Yeah.
Not funny.
I mean, not that, I've been to Biba's and Zinfandel Grill. They're all terrific. And, you know, but I'd just soon stay in Roseville, to be honest. It's just easier.
So what do you do for, again, you're not retired. You have a toe in retirement, it sounds like, maybe one toe. What do you do? You say you walk a lot. What else do you do besides basketball?
Well, really, I do walk a lot. I mean, I walk every day. I try to walk 60 to 70 minutes a day and sometimes bike a little bit and kayak a little. I spend a lot of my time in we got a little place in Lake Tahoe, so during the summer, that's really been really nice, you know, to get up there.
Do anything up there.
Yeah, and, you know, and then up there, nobody knows me from a load of coal, which is great, you know.
Everyone loves music. We have great concerts coming through. What's the best concert that you've been to in Sacramento, and what's the music you listen to? What do you like?
Well, the best concert, Elton John.
Oh, man.
I love Elton John.
Perfect.
Probably second, Bob Seger. My favorites are probably Bob Seger, Bob Dylan. I like Duffy. I like Amy Winstead. I've got that on my. You know, when I walk, I always listen to music.
That's
and
awesome.
I say Rolling Stones. I love the Rolling Stones. I didn't like them when I was younger, you know. But now
how
I love them.
That?
Yeah,
I sense a classic rocker at heart here.
Yeah. So it's So it's, you know, I mean, Adele, you can't go wrong with Adele. She's great.
Awesome. Okay, here's an eclectic question. If there was a Sacramento Mount Rushmore, who would you put on our Mount Rushmore? Which four heads? Kind of out of the middle of nowhere.
Rick Adelman.
Okay.
He'd be the, I'd probably put, you probably need to put players. But I'd put Rick number one over any player.
Mm-hmm.
And I put Chris Webber, Mitch Richmond, and the fourth one. I guess I'd go with Peja.
Okay, I like that. Good choice. So you have accomplished a lot in basketball. Is there one thing you're most proud of? It's kind of a tough question after 30, 40 years of doing something.
I'm really pleased that I was part of national championship teams in junior college where I coached and also a college division national champion. And then, of course, the Monarchs, WNBA
Monarchs.
Champion. So, you know, the only, I always say, you know, if we'd have been able to win the NBA championship, that would have been the It'd have been all of them, but we didn't. So,
I'm
pleased because not everybody has been able to have that. And of course, being part of an Olympic champion too, even though is a women's team, but is really very proud of that.
That's a lot, sir. That's a lot.
So you know, it's what it is. You know, you got to. Some of it's luck, being the right place, the right time.
Did you hear that, producer? Oh, you know, it is what it is. You know. So you moved here from Indiana. What has kept you from picking up and going back home? You've stayed here, and it sounds like you moved here and you've stayed here, and it sounds like you're staying.
And
this is called NorCal Names. So why Northern California?
Great place to live. You know, great place to live. I don't like the tax structure, and I don't like a lot of things, but I mean, the climate's fabulous, and obviously I've been in California more than I was in Indiana. I left Indiana to go to coach in Georgia when I was 27, 28. And so really this is, you know, I mean, I'm proud to be a Hoosier, born and raised, you know, I mean, I really a small town, and you can't beat Midwestern people, but I don't want to go back there. You know, I mean, I've got family there and all, but this is by far the best place. My kids live here.
So this is home.
So this is home, yeah.
And as a fellow Rosevillian, I'm glad to call you my neighbor.
Well, I'm glad to call you my neighbor. And there's, I mean, that's the thing. I just, you know, we've been in our little cul-de-sac for years, and most of the neighbors have been there. And, you know, we're just all grown old together. I said, we don't need to go to Del Webb. We're already...
You've got your own little Del Webb.
We got our
adjacent.
Own little bunch of old codgers all together.
It has been a pleasure talking to you, and you are a kid at heart. I'm not looking at an old codger. I'm looking at Jerry Reynolds.
Well, thank you. I plan, you know, really, at the end of the day, let's face it, we're all going to end up dead. But in the meantime, we better just enjoy the heck out of what time we have.
I think we end it right there. Thank you, sir.